Right now, while we're recording this podcast, about 20% or so of American adults are in pain. That's 52 million people or more. A 2023 study, so very recent, showed that new cases of chronic pain actually occur more frequently than many other common diseases we think of, including diabetes, depression, and high blood pressure. Moreover, among people who have chronic pain, almost two-thirds will still suffer from it a year later, so it lingers, and it can change your life. Pain is a common experience, and if you or a loved one are experiencing pain, then this is the episode for you. Are you ready to change your tomorrow and start feeling good again? You're in the right place. Grab your coffee, and together, let's start doing wellness differently. I'm Heather Young, a certified personal trainer.
And I'm Jennifer Klutz, a registered dietitian nutritionist. Join us for conversations that will inspire you to ask better questions, remove the overwhelm, and discover what you can do to change your health now.
Welcome to the Critical Conversations Podcast. Pain is a noisy topic. We have many loud, prevailing messages that are reinforced our whole lives. Pain is seen as negative, scary, and to be feared. But science shows that how we think about pain has a dramatic impact on how we feel and how we recover from pain. Our guest today personally knows about painful chronic pain. But today, not only has he resolved his debilitating pain, but he's healed and become an ultramarathon runner and is the founder of Pain Academy, where he educates others on new ways to approach pain and to help their bodies heal. He's very thoughtful, brilliant, and he cares deeply about the topic, which is why Jennifer and I are so excited to talk with him today about both the noise and the silence around pain. Welcome to the podcast, Vinny.
Thank you. What an introduction. Thank you so much for having me here. That's a heck of a welcome.
That stems from just knowing your story. And that's where I want to start, with your story and your personal experience with pain and how you've overcome it.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to start, you know, because I didn't learn about pain from textbooks. I didn't learn about it from watching other people struggle. I lived it firsthand, and I lived the worst of it. I was my early 20s, I was a 8-time All-American, collegiate Division I athlete. I had these hopes and aspirations of representing my country for swimming. And I went from being an incredible endurance elite athlete to fully disabled overnight. I broke my back in a surfing accident, and I wiped out. I went for a wave way too big, and a rock broke my fall, and it impacted my lower spine. And there was life before that injury, and then there was life after that injury. It was life changing, to say the least. And though many people who are probably listening to this will not relate to breaking your back on a rock surfing, what happened after is probably a lot like everybody else's story, right? What do you do when you're in pain? You go see the experts and you get pain pills. You go to Cairo, you do PT, yoga, acupuncture, massage. You do all the things that you're told will help and the things that are promised to have worked. And I'm sure that they're very helpful for a lot of people, but I was just one of those cases where the more I did, the worse I got. And years after my fractured spine healed, years after the herniation healed, the MRIs weren't showing anything that could even remotely point to why I still can't move, but I couldn't. Even as things healed, I was just growing more and more disabled, less and less capable of just getting through the day. So it took almost half a decade for things to start to finally make sense. And it wasn't until I really put my healing back in my own hands. And there's a saying, which I'll probably say a couple times. It wasn't until I learned how to participate in my own rescue did things really start to fundamentally change. And this is what eventually led me back to school to get an education and working with people. And I'll be really clear. My goal in going back to school and getting an education, getting all these certifications and credentials, it wasn't because I had some huge world mission to help other people. I just wanted to know what it was like to get through the day not wanting to cry. I was very selfish for why I got into fitness. I just wanted to not feel broken. And once I started to figure out the things that I needed to do, once I started to understand how I could kind of heal my own body, I then started to share that with other people, and it just started to catch on like wildfire. So it's that's obviously the short condensed version of it.
The short condensed version and also the highlights. But the one phrase I heard you say that really stood out was that you learned to participate in your own rescue. And I think there's two phases to that, because one, there was the conscious choice you made when you started going to school and moving your body and challenging your body in a new conscious way and making that choice. But there was also the first rescue, which I think was survival and unconscious, where I don't even know how you got out of the water with a broken back.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, luckily my sport was swimming. So I was just so used to being very uncomfortable. Now, obviously, this was a whole new level of discomfort. I had lost feeling motor control in my left leg due to the severity of the impact. And it was just survival mode. I mean, I immediately rolled over onto my back and did whatever motion I could to get closer to the shore. Then I rolled over onto my stomach and did some doggy paddle. And I remember literally just crawling across the beach on my hands and my knees to my car. And, you know, I know it sounds weird. Most people would think, oh, just call an ambulance and go straight to the hospital. I remember crawling into my car and just driving home. I think I was in such a state of shock and panic that I just needed to be alone. And it wasn't until the day after that I actually got my senses and went to the hospital.
How do you think being in that survival mode mindset contributed to your journey with pain? Like, because when someone is capable of doing what you did there and just getting in your car and driving themselves home with a broken back and then finally realizing, oh, okay, this is serious. I need to do something about it. How do you think that helped your journey with pain? But do you think there's parts of being able to do that that also contributed to what you needed to unravel with your journey in your healing process?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you know, I think my childhood and the trauma that I had been through prepared me for a life-changing traumatic injury like this, because one of my coping mechanisms was to disconnect mind over body, mind over matter. Though I was here physically, I wasn't here mentally. I learned how to disassociate really early on as a kid. You know, I had parents who, you know, my mother was an alcoholic, my dad was a gambling addict. There was addiction that ran rampant through my family. So I learned at a very young age how to disassociate myself from the world. And that coping mechanism was a gift. That was a skill set that helped me get through this life-changing injury. But the things that get us through the hard times can also keep us there. And this mind over matter, forcing my way through, disconnecting from my emotions and my intuition, and just powering through things, forcing my way. This is how I approached therapy. This is the exact approach that I used when it came to working with pain. And this is, you know, one of the really big turning moments in my journey was the exercises that weren't working for me were the same exercises that ended up working really well for me. And the only difference was how I mentally parented myself and how I coached myself through these moments. You know, I only knew how to fight pain. I only knew how to numb myself and avoid it and suppress it with either pain pill prescriptions, alcohol, weed, whatever it was. I knew how to numb it with substances. I knew how to fight it when I would feel it internally. I would brace myself and flex every muscle I could. I'd stop breathing and just force my way through it. And there was no listening. There was no communication going on. There was no meeting myself with grace and compassion and kindness and empathy. It was just force. And nothing really changed for years until I understood that.
That's a transformative shift for sure. And it's so interesting when it comes and it's linked with pain, which is a transformative experience in and of itself. And I do think for everyone, there's like leaving what we know for what we need. And what you know saved your life, and then you had to be able to leave it for what you needed, which has now served you and has been helping so many other people. Do you remember like the light bulb moment, if there was one, or maybe it was a gradual knowing where you were like, this is different and I know why it's different, or I know what I'm doing with my approach to pain?
Yeah, the light bulb moment was actually one night when I was doing my therapy exercises, and it came time to do bridges. And I don't know if either of you have experienced back pain, but the last thing you want to do is bridges. They suck and they hurt. And I had such a severe imbalance in my body that getting both hips to be used at the same time, it felt like a nightmare for me. And every rep, I would anticipate the pain. Every rep, I would run into the pain. Every rep, I would tense up and almost stop breathing because of what I was either going to feel or was feeling. So there was very much this resistance that I'm talking about. And I'm watching TV one night while I'm doing these bridges, and my son comes up to me and he has a conversation. You know, I think he's like 3 or 4 at the time. And I'm still bridging and I'm talking to him. And I notice, oh, wait a second, there wasn't any pain. And then as soon as I had this realization that I was just being loving and kind to him while I was moving, there was less resistance, there was less force, there was less anticipation, there was less fight, flight, freeze, that sympathetic nervous system. And as soon as I recognized that, oh, I'm moving without pain, I then focused on it and I started to feel pain again. And then I turned my attention to him and got back into a conversation, and then it relaxed. How I was placing attention was key. That was either helping me move better or making me feel worse. And it was in that moment that I realized, well, nothing was different. Nothing biomechanically was different on this day. I'd even done bridges a couple reps before and they sucked and they hurt. Why did my son and me being a kind, loving father, why did that all of a sudden relax the state of my system and allow me to bridge and breathe and not tense up out of anticipation that this thing was going to just suck as it always does in the same way? And it was this moment of understanding, you know, at this point, I was already a corrective exercise specialist. I knew academically, you know, biomechanically, why I couldn't bridge. I knew why it was painful, yet I had a fundamentally entirely different experience with it because one thing changed. It was my mind. It was what I was thinking about. It was what I was focusing on. My feet weren't in a different position. I wasn't holding my pelvis or bracing my core in a different way. If anything, I stopped all that. And I just got back to this place of natural movement. And so this one night of doing bridges and having this experience where it actually did feel good to get the muscles being used without pain, it started to crack this idea in my mind that I was broken. I wasn't broken on those reps. And me having this painless experience doing bridges, it was the first crack in this concrete idea that I had subscribed to, that my pain is permanent and that this problem's not going away. I experienced this window of freedom of movement, and I knew from that moment on, so much of this had to do with the way I was thinking, not the way I was moving.
We do each have our own pain journey, but what I would say about mine is that I used to suffer a lot and get triggered into getting costochondritis, which is horrendously painful. Like you don't want to breathe. You just want to hold your breath. And through this journey, I had no idea that because of that pain and being afraid to breathe, that eventually it changed how I breathed just in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And then that in of itself created its own set of dysfunctions, right? And so what I love about what you just explained is that the hope within that is that if you give yourself the opportunity to experience something in a new way, it can be all you need to transform the entire journey. I was afraid to breathe. It was painful to breathe. Going through the process of relearning how to breathe correctly had actually helped me have that breakthrough moment where she was just like, here, maybe if you think about that signal as, hey, this is actually what you're supposed to be doing. You just haven't done it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I was like, okay, I'm going to try breathing into this balloon and go, okay, that pain that I'm feeling is actually where I need to go. And I need to experience it differently, as in like, this is a good thing. And in that moment of thinking of it differently, it did not hurt as badly. And in fact, it was almost like a light bulb of like, yes, that's what I've been asking you to do for so long. That kind of helps to break through the noisiness within pain, because pain is always seen as negative. We're coached from a very young age to avoid it, whether it's emotional pain, physical pain. And so how do you walk people into trying to have that same breakthrough moment, obviously in their own way?
Yeah, it's a great question. So let me make this a little bit more real for people, because that was a completely random moment. And though that was a breakthrough moment with me, it led to the next huge rock bottom downfall. Because guess what I tried doing the next night? Okay, I'm going to change the way I think about pain and it's going to work. And I did bridges again and it was more painful than the night before. Oh crap, this doesn't work. This sucks. I'm never going to get out. You know, it was, Then I had to deal with expectations of something kind of working and then thinking, well, that's just what I got to do now. And it doesn't work like that. So I'm going to answer your question in a little bit of a roundabout way. Ultimately, we have to change our relationship with pain. Everybody has a relationship with pain. Some people relate really negatively to it, like it's bad, like it's alarm bells, something is seriously wrong. Other people relate to it as like maybe an athlete, this is what I've got to push through because greatness is on the other side of pain. Everybody has their own unique relationship with pain. And so I'll start by saying that. Now, I had this breakthrough experience followed by a huge flare up. Because I felt better. So I did more than my body was capable of. And that set me up for a couple really painful days in a row. I booked a massage because I was freaking out. And I think that breakthrough was exactly what I needed before this massage therapy session. And this woman, it was our first session. I heard she was great. And she put her hands on my lower back without me even telling her what my story was. And she said, hey, I'm gonna say some things and I would like you to repeat after me. And she put her hands right on the acute point of impact, that peak of injury. And she said, I love you. She wanted me to say this. So I said, I love you. And then she said, thank you. Please forgive me. And I'm sorry. And she left her hands on my lower back, which was painful as hell. And she made me repeat these four phrases again and again. It wasn't a radical breakthrough. It wasn't a huge shift in pain. But what those four questions did was offer me a way to begin relating to pain differently. See, I'd only known how to numb it and force it and resent it. It was the thing that changed my life. It took away movement. It took away independence. It took away relationships. I couldn't be intimate. I couldn't do anything. I had come to hate pain. I loathed it. And now all of a sudden, I have to say, thank you. Please forgive me. I love you and I'm sorry. I had never once even thought of using those words with this pain that I wanted to just blow up and shoot. I wanted to kill it. And now this woman is putting me in pain and teaching me to say things that I wasn't used to. Was it a radical breakthrough? Not in that moment. But that breakthrough came a couple days later when I was doing those bridges again. And again, I felt pain. And I started to practice these words. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I love you. And I kept saying it again and again and again. And I started to think about, well, what am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for all the joints that don't hurt, actually. There's actually a lot that doesn't hurt. Thank you for everything that you had to do to get me through this gnarly survival period for the past almost 10 years now. I started saying, I love you, which is a really weird thing to say to yourself when you're in pain. And most people don't love themselves and they sabotage themselves. And I ate really bad. I had a terrible relationship with food and substances. I was abusing my body because I was so mad at it. I was so pissed that this thing happened and it wasn't healing. I resented myself. How the hell can you get better when you don't even practice self-love? That's where I was. And the breakthrough happened days later. Saying these four phrases over and over began to shift my entire relationship with pain into one of more compassion and kindness. And that then paved the way forwards to be the starting point, the foundation of fundamentally changing my relationship with it. So for people out there who are listening to that, that might not be real for you. And that's okay. If somebody told me 5 years after breaking my back, hey, Vincenzo, we need to work on your relationship with pain, I would have flipped them off. I would have said, no, my back's broken. What do you mean relationship? My spine's broken. That's why I'm in pain. This has nothing to do with my relationship with it. My God, I couldn't have been any more wrong. And for those of you who are out there and you've just heard me say your relationship with pain is really important, all I need you to do right now is when you feel pain, just observe for a moment. What comes next? What is the inner dialogue? What is the thought? What is the emotion? What is the memory? How do you as a human being respond immediately after that pain, most likely that unwanted pain, that sensation is felt? Where do you then go? How do you coach yourself? What are the words that you're using? Where do you feel it in your body? How do you treat people around you? What is your response to pain? We can't change anything until we first become aware of how you are actually responding to it. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense in that, and more research comes out every day that says we do have a relationship with pain, and it absolutely changes everything about how we experience and move through pain. And I think with the noisiness in our culture, it's built on a couple of the things that you're experiencing is we got this brand new technology and we had imaging and we could see inside people's bodies and we could tell them, you know, what their joints looked like and what their spine looked like. And suddenly you had people going into the doctor and they were like, hey, you have deterioration of your knee and it's now bone on bone. And up until the point that someone told them that, they had no idea that they were walking around on a knee that was bone on bone. And what we started doing was we started telling everyone why they should experience pain. When in reality, when they study people, they'll have people that they look at in a cadaver state, so they've died, and they have the most deteriorated, shattered bones and joints, and they never complained about pain. And partially, I think that's because no one ever told them that they needed to, because we didn't have this like pursuit of looking for why pain is in the body and then having this equal development technologically of having the drugs and the pharmaceuticals to shut it down and to think that that was the thing that would take it away. Instead of understanding that pain is always communication from your body about something, acute pain, something that's going wrong, and then chronic pain, something that's unresolved or hasn't been fixed in your body. And when you started asking those questions and having to stop just numbing and attacking the pain and staying stuck in that state, it made your brain start to look for different ways to identify with it. And I think that changes everything when we can start to see pain as communication from our body and a part of that relationship that we have with our body. It's so wonderful that you're sharing your personal experience with pain. It's very personal to be able to talk through how you work through pain and walk through it and engage with it. But until someone shares their experience and tells you there's a completely different way to think about it, you're just going to do what you had always done, and that's muscle through.
Yeah, and that's one of the main things that I'm trying to bridge right now with the work that I do with people is understanding, yes, there is a physiological, biomechanical thing that we need to work on, right? Whether it's improving, restoring movement patterns, there is a physical element to it. And there is a mental, emotional element. And if we can work on both of those simultaneously, your chance of success is going to skyrocket through the roof. The stuff that I'm talking about right now, which I'm sure we can have 10 more podcasts about, and it's still just scratching the surface, this is the stuff that was missing from my treatment options. You know, when given a bottle of pain pills, nobody was talking about my relationship with pain. When giving PT exercises or electrostim, again, it was the mindset stuff, the me feeling so isolated and alone. And what are the moments when you are by yourself and you need to shower, but you can't get off the ground? What do you do as a human being? What skills and tools and coping mechanisms do we need to acquire to be able to navigate these things? This is the stuff that was missing. And as a young man, I didn't understand that therapy can help with that. I didn't understand that there are mental health issues also that come into play with chronic issues that are exacerbated. And everybody was just treating this as a physical problem. And I'll go back to what you talked about, you know, our ability to look inside the body without opening it up. Technology, MRIs, x-rays, these things are so incredibly useful. And they almost mechanize the problem so much to where we see the problem lit up on a whiteboard. I remember seeing my broken back on that doctor's office whiteboard, and I was just detached from it, thinking, oh, this is only mechanical. I'm in pain because this nerve is pinched, this bone is fractured, these herniations are pressing on the nerve. It was very mechanical for me, and that sent me down the road of, first of all, seeing it broken. It almost exacerbated because now I knew what it looked like anytime I moved. And it almost gave me more validation to be in pain. And when somebody said my emotions and my mindset and my behavior and how I relate to pain had anything to do with it, I immediately would go back to the whiteboard and I was removed. No, my back's broken. It has nothing to do with my mindset or my psychology. And so one of the things that I really lean into is for people to not only do my movement program to work on the physical component, but to also simultaneously go through my mindset program to change your relationship with pain, because doing both significantly improves your experience. And the ironic part is once you can move to this place of surrendering and acceptance, once you stop caring about it, it actually starts to get better. You stop placing more importance and you stop placing more attention on it. You start to see the moments where you're actually not in pain. Maybe it is not an all-day kind of a thing. You start to become more aware of this thing that you're trying to work with, not solve, but dissolve over time. And that's why it has to be approached with mental tools as well. Otherwise, like I said, the exercises that did not work for me are the same exercises I teach people to help them heal themselves. The difference is what tools are being used mentally while we're doing it.
Thank you for tuning in to this captivating episode of our podcast. We were riveted hearing Vinny's story, and we hope you enjoyed part one of this special two-part series with Vinny as much as we did. His insights into pain management and recovery are truly eye-opening, but the conversation doesn't end here. We're just getting started. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on part two, airing this Thursday. We'll continue diving into Vinny's journey and explore much more about his philosophy behind pain, recovery, and healing. I also have an exciting opportunity for you. If you or someone you know is in pain, or you're looking to just reconnect with your body in a brand new way, you can join Vinny's free 4-day Better Back Challenge that's happening live next week. I encourage you not to miss out on this chance to reconnect with your body and experience the power of a new way of moving. You can sign up for the Better Back Challenge now at the link that we have in the podcast description. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we really can't wait to continue the journey with you in part two. Stay tuned, make sure you subscribe so you get the episode when it drops, and in the meantime, be kind to yourself in the process of change.